Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you're putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
So you already did the big recap. You already did the big recap of your Scotland trip.
No, I did not do the big recap because I did like 3 minutes and people still bitched about the 3 minutes. The people that hate golf. Yeah, exactly. They liken it to me showing them my holiday slides. Oh, look at this. And here we are standing in front of Big Ben. Oh, and here we are on a boat on a bridge.
I don't want the shot-by-shot breakdown of your game. I don't want to hear about, you know, all 300 holes that you played.
You just want to hear about how it was?
Yeah, I just want to hear the highlights.
It was awesome, Charge. Right. It was, you know what it was? It was 12 men being men. Coming together, bonding, unsupervised, unchaperoned in a foreign country with nothing to do every day but play golf. You got one round to play golf. And most of the guys made it for every day, but a few of the guys had to tap out on one of the two rounds because it got rescheduled due to a wicked storm that closed courses over there. Nothing closes courses over there. But
yeah, 60, I was going to say, it had to be terrible.
60-mile-an-hour winds had uprooted trees and knocked out power. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a hurricane that hit up there. But yeah, so as the entire time as I'm there, and we are rolling now, it's a slow roll-in with Church today, everybody. Good to be back. I've been sick the last couple days. You can probably still hear it in my voice. Technically COVID, according to this home test right here. How I caught COVID in 2025 is beyond me.
Well, you brought, and you're a carrier. You brought it back from Scotland.
I know. Scottish COVID, which I hear is extra meaty and hearty. Aye, laddie.
It's like Scottish crabs. You don't want to bring the Scottish crabs back. Those are meaty.
I'm calling this McGregor's Revenge. I caught McGregor's Revenge.
It's not Montezuma's Revenge.
No, nope, McGregor's Revenge.
That is brilliant, my man. That is brilliant. I love it.
A couple of our guys got sick toward the end of the trip, and then, you know, we're on a pretty small 12-seat bus going from course to course. Not 12 seat, like 16 seat. So we were in fairly close confines, and one of the guys actually nipped from the whiskey flask, the sterling silver flask that I got as a gift from my friend Scotty Boy at St. Andrews last trip we went there. Beautiful, engraved with all the winners of the Open Championship at St. Andrews. And
It's like a claret jug.
No, it's just a flask. It's a flask. It's like silver. I don't know what quality. It wasn't that expensive. It was $150 or something like that. And he put his lips on it after I'd put my lips on it. You're supposed to just air take your nip of whiskey to avoid that. But yeah, no, it was great. You know, Charge, here's the thing about men. Men, when they come together, usually can get along great, even though they may not know each other, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And especially if they don't know each other, they want to be like, all right, I want to fit in. I don't want to be that guy. You know, I don't want to be a Todd who everyone's like, yeah, that guy sucks, man. Just stay away from him.
Who brought that guy?
Don't eat breakfast with him. Yeah. So I'd love to include you on one of these rodeos someday, but you know, you have to be a bit more of an avid golfer. Last time we talked, you were going to play golf with your newfound Southwest Utah friendos.
Yeah. And first time in 3 years, Zabe.
Okay. And how did it go?
Well, okay. Good and bad. Okay. First, I had a great time. And despite the fact that we were golfing in 101 degree temperatures, which couldn't be more different, I think, than what you've experienced. It was pretty darn fun. I had kind of forgotten how much I really do enjoy golf.
Yes. And it's fun.
You're outdoors,
you're trying something that's hard and stupid, and occasionally you hit it just right and it goes where you want. And you're like, yes, I am all powerful. And you get to drink and you can listen to music if you like. You talk shit with your buddies. It's fun. Golf.
Now, I went with three friends and, well, yeah, three neighbors. And it was, one was a woman and she was a very good golfer. And she did really well. The place we played was called Copper Rock Golf Course. I encourage you to Google it right now.
Played it.
What?
Yes. Because 1 year I went out with a group of guys from Wisconsin that go to Mesquite every late winter, like early March, first week of March. And they play all these courses, including going up there to play Sand Hollow, which is not too far away.
Yes, very close to me.
As well as Copper Rock. We played Copper Rock while I was there. Nice course.
Nice course. It's a little more distant from like the epic mesas that are in this area, but they're close enough. And there's some just beautiful, beautiful shots. It's an LPGA tour stop here. It's the level below LPGA, and I don't remember what that's called.
Symetra Futures Tour, I believe.
That's it. I believe you are correct. It's one of those stops. The woman who won it shot a like 28 under par, which is absurd. Yeah. It's a hard course. What's the slope rating, I think, is 32?
32. Listen to you. You're already jumping in talking about slope ratings.
I know. But, you know, okay, so here's why I think I do a good job. I have so many bad shots. I do a good job of compartmentalizing that and just throwing it out. And I just remember the good one, the good shots, not the bad shots. The bad shots I forget about.
That's the way you need to be. That's the key to success in golf and in life. You know,
maybe right about that.
Flush the bad shots. Don't let the bad shot you just hit ruin your next good shot you might hit, or the bad hole you just had. Don't let that ruin the next hole. It's all about keeping it in front of you.
So tell me, here's what I want to ask you. This, my across the street neighbor, Randy and his wife, Chris, who I golfed with, they golf probably 6 days a week. And half of those are, they'll do two rounds. They are retired. This is what they do.
That's great. That sounds like a couple that is well paired for each other. A lot of couples don't
think.
Yeah, a lot of couples who both play golf, they don't necessarily do well playing with each other.
How come?
You know, the differences between men and women. And the dynamics of every relationship, you know?
You get to the tee box and you look back at the cart and you go, "You again?"
You again. Yeah. Well, that's great. So when do you think your next round will be?
I would love to play it's my busiest time of year. So I can't.
You're not playing anytime soon.
I don't think I am playing anytime soon, probably for at least a few weeks, but I'd love to go back and there's a lot of great golf here. How do I need lessons? Tell me this. I'm shooting 106. Lessons would have to help, right? Do I need to find time to go get lessons, or can I just play enough that I'll just naturally get better? Or can't you know?
If you play enough, you'll naturally get better. You gotta hit a certain amount of balls to let your natural athletic ability kick in and figure out. How much natural athletic ability do you have?
Well, I don't want to brag, but they still talk about me on Northmark Drive, as you can imagine, and my many, many touchdowns that I scored in the outlot behind my house, mostly against Alex Nettlecoff and his sister.
You played against Nettlecoff's sister? I heard she was a killer.
She was a freaking brute.
Was Chuck Bednarik with a ponytail. Wow.
That's right. Absolutely. I don't want to brag.
Okay.
But so, I was a very good high school athlete.
What did you play in high school?
I lettered 7 times, 3 in cross country, 3 in track, and 1 in cross country skiing.
Okay. All right. How about sticking ball sports? Cause you're talking running.
I played so much football. I'm not built for football, but I played a ton of football. Yeah.
Pad and helmet football.
Yeah. Yep.
High school.
Yep, and backyard football. Lots of backyard and lots of snow football. I mean, when you are waist deep in snow or even thigh deep, well, ankle deep, anything, it's so much fun. That's where you can play tackle. Everybody's all covered up.
Did you play? Here's what I want to know. Did you play high school with a helmet with your high school's logo on it?
No, not high school. Okay. That's when I went to cross country. Yeah. I figured out what I can do well.
Yeah, I played. Played 1 year of organized helmet football with pads. I was 12.
Yeah.
And that was enough for me. It was definitely not violent enough nor big enough to really take to the sport. But I'm glad I tried it at least once.
Yeah. What position did you play?
Believe it or not, left tackle. Wore number 79. And you think, wow, you must have been a monster blocker. You must have had great pass sets. No. They figured that I could remember the snap count as good as any other 12-year-old to not cause constant offsides. And that was where they buried the less speedy, less athletic kids on the McLean youth football team. But I got a photo of it. I got a photo of it, me in my orange jersey. I think I told this story on a podcast. For those who are listening, forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but the most memorable moment for me playing organized tackle football with a helmet was the coach doing a bull in the ring drill with us kids because he was unhappy with the tempo and the energy of the practice. You know what bull in the ring is, right?
Wow.
One guy gets in the middle, all the other guys line around him, and then you take turns hitting the bull in the ring. Well, the coach was the bull, and we're 12.
What?
Yes. What? The coach was the bull. We're 12. He's a grown-ass man and pretty muscled, and without any pads or helmet, he took each one of us on around in a circle and knocked every one of us on our asses. I mean, blasted us. Just literally every kid was on the ground. The one kid, as it got almost all the way around the circle, decided he was going to try to somehow dodge the hit to stay upright, and he did, barely, and the coach goes, oh, no, 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 come back here and hit me like you mean it. And then he blasted him onto his ass. I'm sure in today's day and age, some kid would have gone to his mommy and complained about it, and that coach would be in jail right now. But, you know, it was his way of toughening us up. It wasn't traumatic to me. It was just kind of funny. It was like, yeah, holy shit, that adult is way bigger and stronger than us.
Here's my eighth grade. I started playing organized in eighth grade and maybe seventh grade in middle school. And I had just been playing in the backyard with my buddies. But what I didn't realize, because they had no context except for my buddies in the backyard, is I was really good. And I show up with all these other kids and I'm the fastest kid on the team, cross country and track. It turns out I'm a good passer. I didn't know I was a better passer than our quarterback, but I had no mechanics, right? You know, I hadn't been taken, like I couldn't, I wanted to try out to be quarterback because it turned out I had a better arm than most of our quarterbacks did.
Nice.
But I had to take a hike because we had never done that. You know, we would just throw the football back. I had never taken a hike under center. I had no footwork. I had none of that stuff. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It was all
fun. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
So we are on the verge of football season here, and we're going to start with baseball. And I know I can hear the groans from people listening right now. Sit tight. We're going to get to fantasy football in August and a bunch of other stuff. But got to talk baseball for a second because Church's boyhood team, the Minnesota Twins, owned by the Pohlads family, P-O-H-L-A-D.
That's right.
For how many years have the Pohlads owned the team?
Since the early 80s.
Okay.
Yep. They bought it from an owner who could not afford a Major League Baseball team, a guy named Calvin Griffith, who
we
was
know him.
So cheap.
The team was what? In D.C. Calvin Griffith moved them to you guys because that was our team in D.C. when I was three years old, basically.
Right. That's it. Yes, of course. And so he gets the team here. Can't afford to pay anybody. So, like, Rod Carew, you know, left. We left, you know, we traded away Rod Carew. Nobody trades away Rod Carew, but we did it here because we could not afford to keep Rod Carew. So we would, you know, perpetual cycle of finding good players and then losing them all because he wouldn't pay anything. And then the Pohlads came in, won some World Series, and we loved that version of the Pohlads. But then the elder Pohlad, retired or died, and then the younger, you know, the second generation came in, and what a freaking disaster.
Yeah. So anyway, apparently they had been trying to sell the team.
That's right.
They sold the team at the trade deadline, basically. People were aghast at the moves the Twins made at the trade deadline.
That's right.
And the team, meanwhile, is like, who wants to buy this team? And they discovered the answer is nobody. So they put out a statement that said, after a detailed and robust process, our family will remain the principal owner of the Minnesota Twins. Blah, 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 strengthen the club, blah, blah, this, long-term vision, blah, blah, that. It's almost like a kick to the nuts for fans of the Twins and fans of baseball in Minnesota. Like, oh, so you assholes are staying, huh? Great.
Yep. I mean, the only reason they had any fan support left was because almost a year ago, they announced they were going to sell the team. So fans were like, oh, thank God, we're out of this ownership group. But they couldn't. The problem was they had somehow, how does a Major League Baseball owner, how do you accrue $450 million in debt when you were given a stadium by the taxpayers?
Right.
You know, we paid for this stadium 12 years ago-ish, built this beautiful stadium, state-of-the-art, with everything this ownership group wanted, and they still managed to lose money and somehow couldn't find an ownership group that wants to buy a Major League Baseball team. You would think, you know, there's only 30, 31, how many teams?
30.
Are we at 30?
Yeah.
30. There's only 30 teams. You would think you could find somebody to buy it, but they couldn't, and they announced today they're keeping the team.
Yeah. I sent a tweet from a guy, Pitch Profiler, who says Joe Pohlad and the Pohlad family aren't just a disgrace to baseball. They're a stain on the entire state of Minnesota. Their story starts in the Great Depression, not as scrappy underdogs, but as profiteers who made their fortune foreclosing on homes of desperate families who had lost everything. From day one, they were taking from the poor to enrich the rich, and that ethos has never left them. I sent it to you, and I said, true? And you go, every word of it, it's a hell of a story. Yep. Horrible owners.
Reminder, the league looked at contracting the Twins about 10 years ago, and the owners were on board because the league was going to pay them, I don't remember how much, like $500 million or something, to just agree to be contracted. And the owner's like, yep, that's fine. We'll take it. We'll take the money.
It's so
that's
bad.
That's the Pohlad family.
And this follows the very, what's the word I'm looking for? The sale of your basketball team to A-Rod's group. Like, where do you stand now with that? Are you confident that A-Rod and his cronies are going to get the Timberwolves going in the right direction?
Well, just one last thing on the Twins, and then I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Twins traded 11 players at the deadline this two weeks ago while you're gone. 11
including
players.
Dumping Carlos Correa back to Houston, where they are absolutely over the moon to get him back.
Correct. Dude never produced here. He was like the one player that this ownership group splurged on.
Yeah.
He was never very good. He was hurt constantly, and we gave him back to the Houston for nothing, just to get him off of our books. It was a bitter last move by the Pohlads, but we thought it was going to be like the last thing they could do because they were trying to get the books right,
right,
so they could sell this team. And then 2 weeks later, like, well, we still can't sell the team, even though we traded every player with any talent. So, yes.
What a gut punch that is. Yeah. All right.
It is a gut punch to a fan base. It is. I was very nervous about A-Rod coming in as an owner and Mark Lurie coming in as owners of the Timberwolves, because I was nervous they're going to just move the team to LA or Los Angeles, rather. Sorry, Las Vegas or somewhere else, and they wouldn't even keep the team. We're always worried people are going to leave Minnesota. But they have sworn up and down they're not. They're working towards a new arena. But very interestingly, Zabe, they won't say it's in Minnesota. They want a new arena in Minnesota, in the Twin Cities, but they won't say down. They will not commit to being downtown anymore, which is very interesting.
Wow.
But why they're not? Staying all the right things.
Because downtown's not good anymore? Not as good as it once
downtown's,
was?
Like many downtowns, our downtown is struggling right now. Businesses leaving, crime is up. It's, you know, it's
crime's
it's
up, occupancy right rates, a lot of, you know, people aren't working from offices in high rises before.
It's mostly an empty city now during the day. You know, people show up now at night to go to the Wolves games and go to the Twins games. They've been driving downtown. Our athletic teams have. And if the Wolves leave, man, it is going to be politically. It will, if they leave downtown, not leave town, but just leave downtown politically, it will be a firestorm.
Right. Where's Mary Tyler Moore to throw her cap to the sky working for WJM-TV in Minneapolis?
I can't believe you know that. Yes. Yes.
I had to look up the station, but I knew that that iconic moment from that iconic show, and it was all about downtown Minneapolis. I feel bad because 6 years ago we went up there for a Vikings game and we rendezvoused with you. And that was, of course, pre-COVID. And I thought downtown Minneapolis was the bomb. It was charming and clean and safe and vibrant. 6 years ago, that's it. Damn shame.
Yeah. It's all changed. Now, one last thing on Mary Tyler Moore. If you go back to her Dick Van Dyke show days.
Yeah.
Smoking hot.
Absolute
pinnacle of beauty and funny in one person. You know, 1960s era Mary Tyler Moore would have been just my absolute crush back then.
Yeah. No, she was an absolute dime. No question about it. Okay, let's get to the football, shall we? Fantasy football is now front and center. People are scouring all these preseason games. They're making proclamations about guys. They're making conclusions. Yeah. What's the one thing you would advise as a fantasy nerd to not fall victim to in August?
Can't overreact too much to what's happening and what you see in the preseason. That's always, you got to be really, really careful in sorting out truth from fiction in that. And I try to be, I think I've gotten a lot better with my player rankings and just trying to normalize the news a little bit and not just go, oh my God, Travion Henderson, 100 yard kick returned. I got to move him up 25 spots on my team.
Right.
There's you got to try to figure out what's legit, what isn't. And really what I do for most of my drafts is I'm planning my drafts or my auctions in some cases around my tight end, because this is the position that's hardest to fill. Am I going to go into my draft based on where I'm drafting? Am I going to go get Brock Bowers and just, go get my guy? Am I going to get another elite tight end like Trey McBride or another elite tight end like Sam LaPorta or TJ Hockenson? Or am I sloughing that position? And that starts laying the foundation for the rest of my draft, because I think you can't always know how the draft's going to go, but I can really plan around the toughest position to fill. And that's my mindset going into most drafts is trying to piece that together based on where in the draft I'm sitting.
Yeah. Then there was this bit of news out of Chargers camp. Greg Roman, their OC, has said the days of the one back offense has gone the way of prehistoric creatures, and that he says a rotation is always going to be part of how they run things out there. So if you're interested in drafting, say, Najee Harris, good luck.
Yeah. And Omarion Hampton is the rookie that they drafted in the second first round. And Hampton, super promising north-south runner. And Greg Roman always runs the ball. In his time in Baltimore, I believe over the course of his 5 or 6 years there, he had top five run play percentages for almost every year he was there. And everybody with Najee Harris blinding himself with fireworks.
Yeah, I didn't mention that part. I forgot the fact that Najee Harris nearly blinded himself, or maybe he did to some degree. They called it a superficial eye injury. However, he's still on the NFI list, and his agent, Doug Hendrickson, said it was superficial, but a social media post showed Harris with his left eye closed. Harbaugh says the running back can open the affected eye. Oh, can you? Well, why don't you open it then? I'd say any superficial eye injury that has lasted 2 months is a bad thing.
Anything involving eyes are just gross.
There is no such thing as a... Well, I'm always amazed at how fragile and precise and wondrous our eyes are, and that we walk around life and do things. Like, la, 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 nothing's going to hit me in one of these two things that are essential to me existing, right?
Absolutely. I had a near miss. Such a dumb high school thing. This is before the days of like the Nerf shooting guns that everybody's got now, right? So I'm like freshman in high school, nothing better to do in the summer, just whiling away days, BB gun fights with my friends. Until I took a pellet to the cheek. Oof. And had this moment, and it hurt like hell. And I'm like, oh my God, that would have gone right through my eyeball. And I'm like, well, that's it. I tapped out right then.
Was it a pellet or a BB?
BB.
Okay. So copper BB.
Yeah, BB gun fight.
The lead pellets that my brother and I used with the Crossman 760 pump action BB gun. Don't know if you had that model or not. They recommended 10 pumps of the pneumatic stock. They said, don't pump more than 10 times. My brother would pump it 20 or more, adding to the exit velocity. And from his sniper nest in the rear left bedroom of our boyhood home at 7903 Stirrup Cup Lane, he would plunk squirrels constantly. And because they were lead pellets, they travel with a bit more oomph because they were a little bit heavier than the BBs, and they squish. So upon impact, they squish and they penetrate into squirrel skin better, whereas the copper BBs don't really compress as much, and they kind of bounce off you. Know your ballistics. So you're lucky it was a BB. If it was actually a pellet, it might have gone through your cheek.
See, this is what I love about you. Every, like, almost every podcast, we get into some tangent where you know some crazy some detail that I had no idea about. Like, when we were talking about waterproofed phones, I had no idea that there was a measurement IP6. For sand and grit and stuff.
Right.
And that you knew all about that.
Well, you know, a lot of useless information, a lot of nuggets in there, you know, a lot of weird things that I know. You know lots of things I don't know. I mean, you introduced me to Hedy Lamarr. You know, I'm forever thankful for you about that, as are all
and
of
people still talking about it 6 years later, and I'm waiting. I've threatened you many times to hit you with my Dr. Joyce brothers, and that'll be good 20 minutes. Great story. 20 okay. minutes, though. I need 20 minutes to get through Dr. Joyce brothers. So, Omarion Hampton, one last thing on this. So Najee Harris is new to the Chargers, obviously came from Pittsburgh. Hasn't been able to get any reps with the first team offense. So here's Omarion Hampton getting all the first team offense reps. So everybody assumes, and reasonably, that this first round pick is going to get a lot of work because he's getting, you know, when the season starts, because he knows this offense now better than Najee Harris does. Their backup would probably be Kamani Vidal, who they drafted last year in the sixth round. And there were some people who were really high on him and, you know, but it could just be a rotation of guys, but I think Hampton would get the vast majority of work, and he's still super intriguing for fantasy.
Okay. Are you fascinated by the Browns quarterback strategy?
Yes.
Because now, of course, Shedeur Sanders just today or yesterday, the days are blending together because I've been in bed for 2 days, shelved with a oblique strain, I believe it is. I felt like tweeting to RG3. Yeah, see, he's being set up to fail.
By his oblique.
Right. I mean, it'll prevent him from having another bit of game action. You and I know how the NFL works. When there's a hot, heralded rookie and there's no better options, if that guy has one or two good games in August, the pressure.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, the pressure to start him becomes too much for a weak owner or a weak coach to ignore. And Cleveland would be the perfect place where they couldn't say, yeah, no, we're not going to start him in week one because, I don't know, reasons?
Right. Well, the reason would be Joe Flacco, right? You want to go to your veteran. And Flacco has, by and large, played pretty well. We've seen him over the past two seasons, including 2 years ago when he was with the Browns at the end of the year, and he played really well and powered them into the playoffs.
Right.
Here's the thing. Two things on Kevin Stefanski. A, great guy. He was in Minnesota, interviewed him a lot, loved him, a super great human being. And two, when he hasn't been stuck with Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski's been great. He's won Coach of the Year two times. Where his failures are, where the losses are all tied to Deshaun Watson. You take Watson off of his offense, and suddenly everything magically works. And you know, the Browns got better last year once they got Deshaun Watson out and they were starting a bunch of nobodies. Right now, the Browns have six quarterbacks on roster.
Six.
And I love it. If you don't have a quarterback, try anything. Try guys. Try Dylan Gabriel. Try Shedeur Sanders. Try Tyler Huntley. Try Kenny Pickett. Whatever. You may as well keep trying. If you don't have a quarterback, go, you know, do whatever it takes to go find your guy.
I don't know if anyone keeps track of this, but I'm pretty sure no team, has ever carried six quarterbacks into the third weekend of August ever. It's too many.
Yeah, probably not.
Ever.
It's too many.
Four at the most. Right.
Yeah.
Who's going to get the
four reps? Four is a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
So
now, fortunately, Kenny Pickett's hurt, and you know he's not a factor. Deshaun Watson, because there's a modicum of justice in this world, re-tore his ACL in January.
Right.
So he's factor either. So it's really more like four guys right now, but I'm here for the drama, man. And Shedeur Sanders looked pretty good. I thought he didn't suck.
And that's the first step is just don't suck in your first outing. You know, that's the key thing. But, you know, we all know there's so many false hope quarterbacks who start out hot. I mentioned how, remember when people were saying that the people who criticized the Giants for Daniel Jones owe him an apology because, like, he came out of the gate pretty good.
He did.
And then he sucked. And then he had one good year. And they're like,
and he had a good year. Yeah, that one good year.
They're like, all right, I guess we got to pay him.
Yep. lock down his big guaranteed contract because he beat the Vikings in the postseason and had a big game against the Vikings, put together a pretty good year. And when they had to look at themselves in the mirror and say, do we give Daniel Jones this is the offseason before 2023. Do we go to war with Daniel Jones off this season, or do we restart at ground zero?
Right.
And almost every team would rather sign a mediocre quarterback than restart that process because it's terrible.
There are three great back from the grave quarterbacks right now in the league that I think many of us thought would never happen. The first is Baker Mayfield. I'm old enough to remember when he was languishing with the Carolina Panthers, and it was like, yep, this dick, his career is over. Wrong. Figured it out. Geno Smith is another one now on the Raiders.
Unbelievable story.
Right. Yeah. And then your guy Sam Darnold is another one back from the dead. So we may see a league in which, because the position is so hard, so demanding, that there's a number of, you know, highly touted quarterbacks who crash and burn and seemingly are dead, but if they've got the character to keep working on it, may make a comeback years later.
You never know. Teddy Bridgewater's back on NFL roster, Zay.
Okay.
Because
I saw
he can't coach in Florida anymore.
I saw that. There was a story about some Teddy Bridgewater quote with – what team is he with now?
Bucks.
Okay. I saw a quote. It was like, Bucks quarterback Teddy Bridgewater says something, right? And I go,
yeah.
Wait a minute. He's coaching high school, isn't he? And the answer is no more he ain't, because he got busted for helping pay for some of these kids' expenses. And I guess that heartwarming story of him doing what he did in high school is over, and he's back on their roster at least.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Bridgewater took over coaching duties for a team, an inner city team in a very bad neighborhood. So he was doing things like paying to Uber kids to their home after practice because the kids couldn't walk home. It was too dangerous to walk home. And, you know, I am trying to feed kids who weren't getting the right nutrition at home. He was doing things that a decent human being would do, but it's against the rules.
No, he seems
seems
like a good guy.
He is a good guy. Another former Viking I got to interview several times. Yeah. Really good dude.
Yeah. Good guy who unfortunately got slandered by Chris Carter by saying, hey, Teddy, you need a fall guy. And I remember Teddy's like, wait.
That's right.
He's like, wait, what? What, me? Like, why are you looking at me like I'm going to be the asshole who gets in trouble? Chris Carter. How's Chris Carter viewed as a former Viking? Still beloved?
Yeah, still beloved.
Okay.
And, you know, Vikings had so many good wide receivers that he gets overshadowed by the likes of Randy Moss and Justin Jefferson and everything. Right. But the dude was one of the great body control receivers before that was really a thing. When people weren't doing like toe taps on the sidelines in the backs of end zones regularly, he had perfected it before everybody else. And he was part of the magic of the 98 Vikings that set the all-time scoring record with Randy Moss in his rookie year. And, you know, that's just, it's a magical season, even though it ended in heartbreak like they all do for the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, he was the older head. He was the older head that helped guide a young Randy Moss, correct?
Not enough. He didn't give Moss enough of a beatdown, unfortunately.
Really?
Moss was a petulant baby when he was with Minnesota. Yep.
The whole time?
Straight cash homie. You know, all the, you know, the dude was just, he was honestly in his playing days, Randy Moss was a dick. And he treated his PR staff terribly, you know, coaches badly, showed up when he wanted to, you know, all the divas bullshit. Later in life, you know, now
everyone loves him.
Love Randy Moss.
And I mean, of course, we're hoping he overcomes. He's got cancer, or he's battling cancer, right? Yep. But I hear he's doing better. So that's good.
He is doing better.
The perception of him has changed quite a bit, to be sure. But look, those three touchdowns against Dallas when he was a rookie was
that awesome?
Shit.
And you must have loved that Thanksgiving Day as well.
Oh, of course I did. It was absolutely spectacular. Speaking of the Vikings, so what is your feel about the sort of the smoke signals coming out of Minnesota regarding J.J. McCarthy? I've heard a lot of speculation. I don't know if I believe any of it, But some of it is that there's like a cocoon around him that they want to protect any negative vibes or reporting on whether he's doing well or not.
He has looked like a first-year starter. There have been some bad mistakes that all the fans see, and you know the fans are there and they're capturing all the video. They got their phones out. There have been some really good moments. The negative storyline that's been erased is that he doesn't have an NFL caliber arm, which was always garbage, but that was out there. The dude can make he can make some just lasers downfield.
Okay.
And the other part that people are starting to warm up to and realize is that JJ McCarthy's got wheels. This kid can run.
Yeah.
He'll be the youngest NFL starter. He's still got all of his mobility, and that's going to be a next factor we haven't seen from a Viking quarterback since Dante Culpepper. So that part could be exciting as well. The Vikings defense, it might be the league's best. It's going to be insanely good. It was already really good, and Minnesota managed to add a couple of other key parts that are just pivotal in the offseason. And they've now got as deep a front seven as any team in the NFL. Because they added Jonathan Allen, who you know, Javon Hargrave from the 49ers. Older players.
Yeah, they're older players, but they're
big
good.
Impact players. Yeah. Yep, they're still good.
You think you'll be better defensively than Detroit? Detroit apparently locked down Miami in their joint practice today. Just locked their shit up. It's practice. Yeah. But still,
I'm worried about practice. But the Lions did add the best cornerback in free agency in DJ Reed. That defense is going to be way better. And obviously,
they say Hutch is back and he's on a fucking mission. So
Aiden Hutchinson was on pace to have one of the greatest seasons in like defensive history before he blew out his ACL.
Yeah. That takes us to the Packers real quick. Jordan Love injured his left non-throwing thumb on a sack in the first preseason game. It was his second series, last play of it. Out for a week, no big deal, but some chucklehead on another station in Milwaukee said, I'm just going to say it, man. Someone's got to say it. He's injury prone because he mentioned that he was hurt last year. Had two injuries last year, the knee in Brazil, and then his quad or whatever it was down in Jacksonville, and now the thumb. That's going to keep him out all of like 1 week of practice, basically. And people roasted this guy on the radio going, what are you talking about, injury prone? Now, I do believe there is a space in our lexicon chart for calling a player injury prone, but this ain't it. I reserve it for guys who have constant soft tissue issues. Hamstrings, quads, that kind of stuff, where they're always in the shop because their soft tissue does not cooperate. What do you think about injury prone as a concept?
Well, it's not Jordan Love. He's missed two games in 2 years as a starter and played through that nasty groin injury, came back when he really shouldn't even been playing on it. So I do not agree with that categorization
but there are some guys though that you honestly can say after a certain number of years, poor guy, he's just made of more brittle bones and ligaments than your average NFL player, right?
It happens. Absolutely. And you're right about the soft tissue. To me, it's all about the soft tissue stuff. You break your leg. That's just like,
what am I supposed to do? Yeah. A guy landed on my leg. He's 300 pounds. There's no way I can.
Right. And we know there've been great careers that have been totally sidetracked by injury and players that would have otherwise been great. I was reminiscing about this one a little while ago. And this happened like 25 years ago. Do you remember the name Kijana Carter?
Yes. Penn State running back.
You got it. First pick overall in the draft.
Went to the Bengals.
Do you remember what happened? Bengals. First play of his first preseason game, ACL.
Yeah. Just never terrible. The same. Yeah. All right, let's end on a happy story. Every now and then, me as the vice president of snacks, that's a real title, real responsibilities. He's on my business card when I was at Team 980 Radio. The greatest snack ever, the Rice Krispie Treat, is apparently the go-to choice for marathoners and long-distance bicyclists. Did you know this?
No. Why would the Rice Krispie Treat be
Because they say it is the most efficient delivery module for carbs and sugars to help them through their toughest parts of their races. And that some of the athletes, their goal is to go through a box of the mini Rice Krispies during a race.
Wow. Wow. When I ran my marathon, now more than 10 years ago.
Humble brag.
I finished. I didn't finish fast, but I finished.
You finished? Good for you.
4 hours. But you had to bring energy food. And so I had like some squirt packet of something that I was, you know, so every so often you have to take that. The beauty of the Rice Krispie bar, it doesn't weigh anything. So it doesn't weigh you down, right?
Yeah.
You get all the sugar, you can digest it fast. And by the way, they're delicious. I mean, that helps.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you rather have your Rice Krispie bar with M&Ms?
Yes.
In it? Reese's Pieces in it or plain?
Oh, I've not had a Reese's Krispie.
I haven't either. I'm just speculating here on what it could be like.
Glorious. Molly Huddle, professional runner, told Front Office Sports, I wanted something that I liked eating so it wasn't a chore and something that wasn't going to set off my gut the next day. Any rice-based food I noticed sat well with me. I put a little sugar on the rice and there you go. Nick Schultz, who competes for Team Israel Premier Tech in bicycling and rode in both the 2023 and 2024 Tour de France, says he'll typically consume several Rice Krispie treats on race days. So there you go.
Wow. 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 They can afford the calories, Abe.
And you know what? For all of them that I have eaten, none of them have propelled me off my fat ass on the couch to go run or bicycle. So it only works one direction. They won't prompt you to get off the couch and exercise. It's just good if you're competing in a high endurance event. All right, we bump out. You can't hear it right now, but we bump out to the Mary Tyler Moore theme song.
Great to connect
with you, Charge. Thank you for your time, and we're looking forward to another Cracker Jack football season ramping up in 3 weeks' time. Thank you, buddy.
Can't wait. Bye-bye.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.